Okay, we're going to start.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time.
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. Today we're going to be talking about living with lupus. We have some wonderful guests this morning with us. The Lupus Foundation of America actually has two representatives, a Mercedes Yvette. She's a 2004 runner-up from America's Next Top Model. She is the Lupus Foundation of America's spokesperson. Good morning, Mercedes Yvette.
Good morning.
We also have Annette Myrick. She is the CEO for the Lupus Foundation Philadelphia Tri-State Chapter. Good morning, Annette.
Good morning, Joyce. Thanks for having me.
We also have Margaret Dowd. She is the CEO and president of the Lupus Research Institute, and she's joining us. You're in New York?
I'm in New York. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. And also we have a local senior public affairs specialist, Layla Moreno. She works for a local Medicaid insurance company. Good morning, Layla.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you again, everyone, for joining me this morning. I think it's a very important issue. It affects millions and millions of mostly women and also mostly minority women, African-American women, Latino women. And so I think it's a very important issue to discuss this morning. Let's just first just talk, what is lupus? Lupus is an autoimmune disease that can affect various parts of the body, including the skin, joints, heart, lung, blood, kidneys, and brain. Normally, the body's immune system makes proteins called antibodies to protect the body against viruses, bacteria, and other foreign materials. These foreign materials are called antigens. In an autoimmune disorder like lupus, the immune system cannot tell the difference between foreign substances and its own cells and tissues. The immune system then makes antibodies directed against itself. These antibodies, called autoantibodies, cause inflammation, pain, and damage in various parts of the body. So this is a very serious issue. Some people are walking around, they don't know they have lupus, but they're dealing with certain symptoms, and so that's why I wanted to have this show. Again, mostly minority women are affected by this disease, unfortunately. 9 out of 10 people with lupus are women. I guess there are some men, but mostly women are dealing with this. We have, again, Mercedes Yvette. She's a spokesperson for the Lupus Foundation. Mercedes, do you want to just tell us your story a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I was diagnosed about 2002, 2003, and I had severe joint pain. I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't know what was wrong with me. My mom thought maybe I had mono because I was tired all the time. But then when it started affecting my joints, I knew it was a lot more serious than just being tired. And I started to have skin rashes, and I recognized these symptoms because my grandmother unfortunately died of lupus. So I went to the doctor immediately, and they told me that I had lupus based upon my symptoms and my family history. And as soon as I got diagnosed, I told my doctor that I need the proper treatment and began my treatment with lupus.
So what were your feelings when you found out? I mean, you are a model. I mean, people are looking at you. You're beautiful. You're talented. And people have lupus. I want people to understand that you can look fine, but you're still having things going on. Is that correct, Mercedes?
Yeah. There's a famous expression that, like, lupus is like a snowflake. You know, no two are alike. And it's true. Like, I know one of my friends has lupus, and she has discoid lupus, so it affects her face. And for me, it's internal, but it's just as dangerous and as deadly to have this disease. So it's definitely a misnomer. Oh, I may look fine, but I'm not. You know, there's days I can't get out of bed. There's days that I can't move my arms, you know, because I'm having flares. So that's why it's so important for us to educate, especially young minority women, about this disease, because it's a very silent one until it creeps up.
Right. You also mentioned that there no two snowflakes are alike, and I want to let people know there are different forms of lupus. Systemic lupus is the most severe type of lupus. Discoid lupus, it affects the skin. And there's also drug-induced lupus. It's a reaction to prescription medicines. Annette is here from the Lupus Foundation of America. And Annette, why don't you explain to us some of the resources you have in the tri-state area for people dealing with lupus?
Yes, thank you. I represent the Philadelphia Tri-State Chapter. We're one of about 33 chapters from around the country of the Lupus Foundation of America. And we provide a number of ongoing programs and services for different audiences. Public education and public awareness is really one of our cornerstone initiatives because there is such a lack of awareness about lupus and the significance of the disease. As you mentioned, Joy, you know, people look fine, but the disease can be life-threatening, and those life-threatening complications are not things that you see. And so we do a lot of community outreach and public awareness, you know, forums, introductory to lupus kinds of lectures throughout our area. And again, these things are happening around the country. We also do professional education and outreach because obviously we want the physicians to be aware of what the signs and symptoms are and getting lupus on their radar. Probably 9 out of 10 of our clients that call us tell us their story of how they've been led to their diagnosis, which is often 4 and 5 and 6 years in the making because there is no specific blood test that diagnoses, yes, you have lupus, no, you don't. And so the coming to that diagnosis can be quite a process for individuals, and so we do a lot of outreach to the medical community. And then we have ongoing patient and community services for those people who have been diagnosed and are living with the disease. So we do a self-help course, we have support groups, we do a seminar every year, Living Well with Lupus, and we have peer counseling, direct financial assistance, really helping people navigate, you know, their road ahead in terms of coordinating their medical care and helping them in all of the aspects of their life that are impacted by lupus. And it really does impact many aspects of one's life.
Yes, and I want to, since you mentioned that, I wanted to bring Layla in. Layla, good morning.
Good morning.
Layla, do you want to talk a little bit about your story at this time, or do you have any questions you want to broach to any of the guests?
I can support what Mercedes. My story was also similar. During my years in college, I was on the karate team, but one day I woke up and I knew that something was wrong with me. I could feel it in my body. I went to the doctors. I went to the doctors and my family, thinking that maybe I was faking it. I don't know if this was something that happened to Mercedes. Before that, I had no knowledge about lupus, and no one in my family had any knowledge about lupus. So in the mornings when I couldn't get out of bed or I didn't want to do certain things, I was faced with, oh, you know, she's making that up or whatever. You know, and it wasn't until I was at work one day and I was speaking to one of my coworkers and I explained to her how I had been feeling and that I had been feeling like that for years, she said, you know what, you probably have lupus. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? What is that? And she said, you know, you need to check yourself with a rheumatologist. And that's how I started, and that's how I got diagnosed 2 years later. Because at first I was diagnosed with RA, but my symptoms were so severe that the doctor ordered more blood work, and it turned out to be lupus, and I am now have been living with the systemic form of lupus since 2003.
Thank you, Layla, for sharing that. I want to bring Margaret into the conversation because the issue also is how to manage living with lupus. Margaret, you support researchers and doctors. Your organization, the Lupus Research Institute, provides grants to try to, you know, be on the forefront of this disease and get a step ahead. Margaret, you want to talk a little bit about your organization and things that are on the forefront for lupus?
Sure. The Lupus Research Institute was actually founded 9 years ago by the SLE Lupus Foundation in headquartered in New York City, which will be 40 years in existence next year. This is the oldest with New England of all the lupus organizations in America and actually the largest lupus organization serving patients in New York and Los Angeles. So the board of directors of the SLE Lupus Foundation, who are all families or patients with lupus, 10 years ago said, you know, what's happening here? There is no, in the 90s, there was no real advances or research that was making a huge difference or funding for research in the country. So after, over a year of consultation with industry, with the NIH, with the leading lupus scientists in the country, we were advised, very rightly so, to concentrate on novel research, which means new ideas for a very complex disease. Lupus is the most complex of all the autoimmune diseases because it is systemic, because it affects virtually every organ of the body. And it is the prototype for a research into autoimmunity. And when you have a disease that's so extraordinarily complex, we were advised to stay open to the new science and let the science lead the way, and that we needed to shake up the field of lupus research. We needed to find new ideas, new people, creativity, novel thoughts on a very complex disease. And that was 9 years ago and when we began, and since then we have awarded, now we have a new round of grants coming out, this will be announced next week, but we have awarded 96 grants and $26 million during that time for researchers to come up with new breakthroughs and to pioneer discovery in lupus.
And now let me just interrupt you for a second here. There is no cure at this time for lupus. Is that correct, Margaret?
That's correct. There is no cure. We are seeking not only the cures for lupus, but also new treatment. One thing that's very, very important, there has been no new treatment approved for lupus in the United States in 50 years. So oftentimes the treatments that are used for lupus are sometimes more problematic than the disease itself. When the disease is very, very active and very dangerous, physicians have to use drugs that have really very serious side effects. So we desperately need new treatments. So we're looking in the research not only for the cues to why the autoimmune disease occurs, why the immune system makes this tragic error at the very beginning, but we're also looking and finding the breakthroughs for new treatments in a whole host of areas, including neurology and the brain and cardiovascular disease. Is a huge issue among young women with lupus. So
Mercedes, I'm sorry, I just want to bring Mercedes and Layla into this conversation about how Mercedes, Yvette, how are you handling your symptoms? I mean, what are some special things you do? Yoga, trying to keep low stress, drinking tea. I mean, what are some things that you do to help with when your symptoms flare up?
I think diet is very important, and also yoga. I just recently became an instructor, a yoga instructor, because I saw so many benefits in practicing with, like you said, stress management, trying not to stress, because stress does bring out the flares, and the most important thing is trying to stay calm and have your body at one state instead of trying to attack itself. So I almost have like a vegetarian diet, and I do yoga, and it has been helping me so far. So far so good. And one of the most important things also that many people may not know is to stay out of the sun. It's especially living in sunny California, it's really important to protect the body from the sun.
Layla, do you want to talk a little bit how you're managing your symptoms or special things that you might do to help you alleviate your flares and stuff?
One of the things that I have done, too, is also to try to live a stress-free life, try to not do things that get me worked up. But unfortunately, so far, I haven't found anything that has worked for me. And I often, just about every day, you know, have pains for the past week, for example. It's been a really, really hard week for me because I've had really severe flares. And, you know, I just want to say that I'm just so surprised that, you know, there hasn't been any new meds for lupus in the past 50 years. And this will explain why every time I speak to my physician, you know, Plaquenil is the only drug that's being prescribed. And I just, it's just bizarre, and it's just hard for me, you know, to believe that there isn't, you know, anything out there, and that I basically have to live my life, you know, on painkiller.
Yeah. Annette, I know you guys have support groups in your area. I want to mention the web addresses for the Lupus Foundation of America, www.lupus.org. lupus.org. Again, www.lupus.org. Annette, do you have a phone number people can call to connect with your support groups?
Yes. Well, certainly people can go to that website, put in their zip code, and find their local chapter. And in the Philadelphia metropolitan area, we can be reached at 866-517-5070.
And Margaret, also, you have a website that people can go to learn more about the initiatives you're working on. There's www.lupusresearchinstitute.org. Again, lupusresearchinstitute.org. Margaret, you want to also share your phone number for people who are interested in contacting your organization?
Sure. It's in New York. It's 800-74-LUPUS.
Okay, I want
and
to mention
that. And
the
other website they can go to is lupusny.org. That's SLE Lupus Foundation.
Okay, that's great. And also May, we're right on the forefront. May is Lupus Awareness Month, and May 10th is World Lupus Day, because this affects people all over the world, it's not just in the United States. I want to mention a wonderful campaign website, www.couldihavelupus.gov. Again, www.couldihavelupus.gov. It's a wonderful website if you have lupus, if you think you might have lupus. Lots of information. People can enter, do diary entries. There's also a phone number you can call, 1-800-994-9662. And it's a great place to connect and see other people trying to handle this disease. Margaret, also I know I think your organization worked with James Garner and Leslie, James Garner, the actor and Leslie Hunt from American Idol with this lupus issue. Did you want to speak about that at all?
Well, we have had public service campaigns in the past, and Jim Gardner was very, very helpful. I do want to say, though, that this the Ad Council campaign is a huge awareness for lupus. This is extraordinary, and the Office of Women's Health has combined with the Ad Council to produce this, and we're going to have awareness of lupus that has really been unprecedented in the country. And I can't say enough about how grateful we are for that.
That's wonderful. Mercedes, I wanted to ask you, how did you decide to connect with the Lupus Foundation on this? Did you just feel that it was important, or somebody approached you? How did you get connected?
Well, as soon as I got off the Top Model, I definitely wanted to do something for lupus, especially promising that to my grandmother. And the Lupus Foundation of America contacted me, and it was mutual, and I jumped on board immediately, because especially I wanted to especially help young minority women, just young women in general, because I found that when I was diagnosed, I really didn't have anyone to talk to, and the support groups were all older women, which is fine, but they weren't dealing with the same things I was dealing with. And I found that a lot of support groups through the LFA that had young women like me, and that's why I got involved. And also with this Ad Council campaign, it, like Margaret said, it's huge. It's on an unprecedented level, like that so many people are finally recognizing this disease as such a serious disease. And that was important for me to make sure to let women know, hey, if you have these symptoms, if you're feeling fatigue, if you have the, you know, rash, if you're having all these symptoms, please go ask yourself, could I have lupus? And maybe we can help them live a better life with early intervention, early medical intervention.
Right. Let me play another PSA we have from the campaign. I want to play one more. Hold on a second.
Muscle aches, rashes.
To find an answer.
Hair loss. I'm so tired.
You need to ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus?
For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Yeah, this is just an ongoing issue that people are dealing with. I want to read a quote, Mercedes Yvette, from an article you did with the Lupus Foundation. It says, when I am suffering one way or another from the effects of lupus has on my life, that you're talking about your brother, tells you every setback is a setup to a comeback. Every setback is a setup to a comeback. And I think that's really important because, you know, sometimes we're going through stuff, and I think that when you're having a physical disease, it really just wears on you psychologically, and that people really need that support, because like Layla mentioned, you know, her family thought, oh, she's faking this. She's not for real. But just because they can't see how she's feeling, it's still going on. So it's really difficult to get people to understand. Annette, how do you think that we can really get maybe people in the workplace or in the community to understand that it's not fake? And also, how is this different than multiple sclerosis? Because that's also an autoimmune disease. Annette or Margaret, do you guys want to answer that question?
Well, multiple sclerosis is a dreadful disease where the autoimmune process is affecting the brain, and it's a neurological disease. It's, you know, an autoimmune disease that's primarily single organ, I believe, neurological.
Neurological.
But with lupus, you know, all the systems are vulnerable. It can be cardiology, it can be neurology, it's nephrology. It's a leading cause of kidney disease, stroke, and premature cardiovascular disease in young women in this country. So the systemic nature of lupus is what differentiates it from other autoimmune disease. Type 1 diabetes, for instance, is an autoimmune disease, and it's primarily the pancreas, but other organs are involved as well. But systemic lupus is systemic lupus, and there's nothing else quite as all-encompassing in the autoimmune disease areas.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention about the world. Annette, go ahead. You wanted to mention something?
I just wanted to add to that. You know, because it's a disease that's not very well understood, I think there's a tendency of people with lupus to not be so public about what they're battling. And when your army, you know, when your army is smaller, you're not, you know, voicing out what your needs are, the movement then lacks. And that's why we see there have been no drugs, nothing approved by the FDA for lupus in 50 years. I mean, that is just unacceptable. And so we applaud people like Mercedes and Layla that, you know, will tell their story, and that hopefully will empower other people to do that, and that will help us all gain momentum, you know, for greater resources to fight this disease, you know, through the lupus organizations, through the federal government, through business and industry. And certainly the Ad Council campaign is something that's really going to propel the movement forward.
Yeah,
and
I want to mention.
I have to agree with that, Joy, if you give me 1 second.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the longest after my diagnosis, I went through severe depression because I was so active, like I said, in martial arts and things like that, and I wasn't able even to jog anymore. And for the longest time, I kept it hidden. I wouldn't discuss with people. You know, I wouldn't even say anything. But it wasn't until, I'll say maybe the end of last year into this year, that I said, you know what, this is unacceptable. We live in America. There has to be something being done to bring this disease to the forefront. I am a young female, and there is no reason why I should live and, you know, carry on with my life like this. And I decided this year that I will speak up for lupus, and that I will make noise, and that I will raise my hand and say, I have lupus, but lupus does not have me, and that I will do whatever possible to bring awareness, because I know, like me, there are many, many more women who are suffering from this disease, and I know that, you know, given the advantage that I do work in the medical field, I work for a local health insurance company, that I have a broader understanding of the things that I could do to help bring this disease and help bring more awareness to it. And my thing is, the more people know, the more people are talking about it, the closer we are to a cure.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. I think it's very important. That's why I'm having the show. I want to mention that the 8th International Gathering of about 1,000 lupus scientists is going to be happening May 23rd through 27th in Shanghai, China. And the meeting will include leading lupus specialists from all over the world. And, you know, they're going to be working there and discussing their medicines and research going on in the field of lupus research. And so that's a very important step since, again, there is no cure at this time for lupus. And I want to mention to the callers, we have some callers, people in the chat. If you have any questions, feel free to ask a question in the chat screen. Or if you're a caller, press the number 1 and you can make a comment or ask a question of the guest. I want to mention again the website for www.couldihavelupus.gov. It's a wonderful website to check out if you think you might be having symptoms, if you know someone who's mentioned things to you or how they're feeling, have them go to that website or call 1-800-994-9662. I want to go back to Mercedes. I want to know, what would you tell a young lady now who might think she has lupus? What's one of her first steps she might do? Is it call her doctor? Is it a rheumatologist? What type of doctor should she go to?
Yeah, well, for me, I went to go see my primary doctor first, and then he referred me to a rheumatologist because they deal with the joints, and rheumatologists treat lupus patients, so that's the first step.
Now, we also mentioned some things that you guys do to help alleviate the yoga and keeping low stress. What about acupuncture or a massage, any Reiki, are any of these alternative medicines helpful? Is anyone, Layla or Mercedes, want to mention, have you used any of those options?
I know that I have. I'm actually on a plan with a local massage place where I go at least once a month, every month, to get a full body deep tissue massage, and that does help me. Joy, I also wanted to say that for people who may think that they have lupus, please don't ignore it. Please don't think that, you know, your family will say, oh, you just have a touch of arthritis, or, you know, think, just do not brush it under the carpet. When you wake up in the mornings and your body aches, or, you know, you find out that you don't have the same mobility you did before in your wrist, you know, things like that. Like, please don't ignore it. And it's better always to know than not to know.
Yeah, that's very important. Annette, in terms, again, let's just mention your phone number again for your group in the tri-state area.
Yes, certainly. It's 866-517-5070.
And Margaret, also, could you mention your phone number again for people who want to reach out to Lupus Research Institute?
800-74-LUPUS, and that's also for all the patient support groups in also in basically in New York and the tri-state area as well, in the New York region, New York City.
New York City. Now, why is it that it seems to be affecting minority women, African-American women and Latino women of Native American descent? Do we know at this time, Margaret or Annette, why that is the case?
We do not, actually. I think, I don't know if Annette would agree, but we really don't have the answer to that question. There are certainly studies underway and people who are looking at that, but like so many questions with lupus, we're investigating it, but we do not yet have the answers, and that's why, you know, at the end of the day, research is so important. Joy, could I just tell you about a family, a member of our board, Chris Paradise, who has lupus, who is attempting to break a cycling record this morning in Pennsylvania,
sure.
Actually,
yes,
for
yes,
his
you
daughter.
Mentioned that to me. Yes,
yeah,
go ahead.
He's going to kick off. Let's see, it's 11:25. Chris is going to kick off in 35 minutes, and he's going to try to set a new record and ride his bike for 24 hours to honor his daughter's fight against lupus. And this is just outside of Allentown, Pennsylvania, and the Valley Preferred Cycling Center. And we're so proud of Chris. He's trying to do this. His website is lifewithoutlupus.org, and people can just click onto that, and they'll be progressing all day as how he's doing. And we're all rooting for him. And this is a father's effort for his daughter to raise money for research.
That's wonderful. And again, I mentioned James Garner, I believe it's his daughter that is dealing with the issue of lupus. And Leslie Hunt, she's from American Idol. So there's a lot of, it doesn't discriminate in terms of class. That people from all different classes, economic backgrounds are dealing with this. But I think in general, what we all know here this morning, that people of lower economic status suffer more with various health diseases because they don't have resources or because they're not empowered with this knowledge. So again, it's so important that, as Layla said, speaking out about, you know, dealing with lupus, because there's somebody else that might have it and they don't even know because they don't have the information, they don't have the knowledge. To tell them, oh, well, maybe it's lupus, or maybe it's multiple sclerosis, or maybe it's diabetes or something. I mean, I know that people are walking around with diseases that they're not aware of, one, because of lack of education, our government and community, but also, two, because people are afraid. Sometimes you know something's wrong with you,
right,
but you don't want to find out. You know something's wrong. Like, you wake up in the morning, you can't get up, or you're having problems breathing or something, but you want to ignore it. People, do not ignore, as Layla said, if you're having any of these symptoms. And what are some of the symptoms that you deal with? Are rash, you mentioned fatigue, Layla or Mercedes, you want to answer this. What are some of the other symptoms people should be aware of? Mercedes, Yvette, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. You have the discoid rash. There's tons of things. Hopefully it doesn't get as serious where it affects your kidneys or your heart, but swollen joints, fever, skin rashes, and kidney problems are usually the wide range of symptoms. But it, also I've experienced a lot of hair loss, and a lot of friends I know experience hair loss as well. So these are just some of the symptoms. But there's many symptoms to this disease, unfortunately.
Right.
For me, the symptoms have always been swollen and very painful joints, difficulty breathing. I have had also, I've experienced hair loss. I've also experienced both weight gain and weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And more so now, I'm experiencing severe anemia. Say, for example, last year I had to be given blood because my red blood cell counts continue to be so low and my body is not regenerating. And I've also now, I get blood work every 2 weeks because of the protein that's being released on my kidneys are being monitored real close.
Okay. So it's an ongoing thing, and people should get checked up several times a year and stay connected with their various doctors. And now, Margaret, maybe you can answer this. How can they get their doctors? Because it sounds like they're dealing with multiple doctors, rheumatologists, neurologists, cardiologists. How can you get these doctors to talk? Because a lot of times in health systems, people are not, you know, well, can you please forward that to so-and-so doctor? I mean, what are some steps patients can do? Or what are things that doctors can do to support the patient?
Exactly right. And one of the biggest agendas we have is to educate physicians and healthcare providers about lupus. Lupus is a disease that is not going to be easily diagnosed by the physician or the healthcare provider community as it is today. And so we have a campaign that's just starting with the Office of Minority Health, actually. And we're just starting to develop it for education and outreach to physicians and providers in the country so that they will, on a professional basis, be better educated about lupus and better able to spot it and to diagnose it. Because what I have through our organizations always wanted to say to a doctor, you know, if a young woman comes into your office, she's supposed to be healthy. And if she's not, at least think about lupus. So we have, I think, the resources that we were able to get from the Congress this past year to begin with the Office of Minority Health to develop a new curriculum on lupus for this country and to get it out to the community providers, and it's going to be a substantial effort in that regard. And I think it's really, you know, we can raise awareness, could I have lupus? But then at the end of the day, the patient has to go somewhere where there's a physician or a provider on the other end of that road that says, yes, you could have lupus, who recognizes those symptoms and says, yes, let's check it out. So that's our that's our next step here in raising awareness, and the professional education, we think, and we all agree, is extraordinarily important.
Yeah. Annette, did you want to say someone else wanted to
No, I couldn't agree with Margaret more that it's not just the public awareness, because the sign, you know, knowing the signs and symptoms and then taking action on those signs and symptoms is certainly going to save lives, but exactly, the medical community needs to be up to speed and needs to be thinking about lupus. And again, while we know that 90% of cases are lupus, and we know that most of those cases are women in their childbearing years, and we know that most of those women or women of color are affected at a higher rate, we know that, you know, kids get lupus, men get lupus, senior citizens get lupus, and sometimes because you're outside the normal parameter, that diagnosis is not being sought. But, you know, we have other barriers that also need to be removed in terms of epidemiological studies and behavior, you know, biomedical research, translational research. There have been so many barriers for decades, slowing down the lupus movement. That we really, you know, we try to work on all of these fronts to move things forward so that people do have better options for treatment. We have that hope for a cure. And, you know, in the meantime, we want to help that individual and that family coping with lupus, you know, live the best life possible.
And you know, Annette is absolutely right. But we also want to let the community know that there is great hope. The progress in this disease and research in the last 10 years I can speak from the LRI, from the Lupus Research Institute, having run this organization for 9 years. The combination of innovative breakthroughs in the science and the advancing technology, the discoveries are happening fast. They are moving fast. They are moving forward to be considered for treatments. And the whole scope of the research has changed over the last 10 years. It's moving faster, and it's getting really turning the disease upside down in terms of how the scientists think about it.
Yeah.
And there's much hope on the horizon, so everyone should be very encouraged, but keep advocating for research dollars, more research for lupus.
Yes,
right.
Lena
mentioned before she's ready to make some noise, and that's that's what we need. That's what we need to keep doing collectively. We need to be making noise for more resources to fight lupus.
And we need to raise more money in the private sector for lupus research. I mean, we can't depend on government to do everything for us. We have to. The lupus community in this country has to raise more private money for research.
Well, again, mentioning money, let's talk about your websites again. www.lupus.org for the Lupus Foundation of America, and www.lupusresearchinstitute.org for the Lupus Research Institute. And Mercedes, what do you see on the forefront for your work as a spokesperson? What's your next steps out there?
Just educating women and everyone out there about lupus and letting them know that there is hope. You can live a normal life. You know, we're going to get, I really feel like I'm going to be cured from lupus. I just feel it. I know it in my heart. I have a great doctor. You know, I try not to stress when things come up, and I try to live as a normal life as I can live with lupus. And I just want other women to know that they can live that too. And I just, so far, all my family, all my friends, everyone I know is aware of this disease, and that's great, but I want the world to know, and like Margaret said, we do need funding in the private sector. These are the things that are going to help hopefully on the forefront find a cure for this disease. So that's what I want people to know.
And Layla, what do you think your next steps are? You going to volunteer at the Lupus Foundation of America, or what do you think your next steps are in this battle for lupus education?
Absolutely. Now that I've come to terms with the disease, I will definitely get involved as much as I can, both in my area and even if I can nationally, to be able to bring awareness to this disease. Because like Mercedes said, you want to keep the hope, and you want to know in your heart that you have, you know, that the medical community hasn't forgotten about you. You know, that when you come into their offices and you have lupus, that you don't want to feel that sense of not having any hope. Oh, okay, there is no cure. That's it. This is all we could do for you. I don't want to feel like that. And I don't want other females or other people, period, to feel that because they have lupus, they are terminally ill and there is nothing that can be done. I want to keep the hope alive. I want to raise awareness, and I definitely want to see the cure for lupus in my lifetime.
That's wonderful. I want to mention again that this is affecting young women, but it also affects kids. It also affects men. But we have two young, beautiful young women on the line right now who are dealing with this. And I want to bring up the issue of children. I know that might be a sensitive issue, but I know there might be some concerns about when you have lupus, having kids. Can you have kids? Can you not have kids? What's the issue with that? Annette or Margaret, do you want to speak to either of those issues?
Yeah, certainly there can be complications with pregnancy when someone has lupus, but the science really has advanced, so greatly that you know, with good monitoring, physicians that have expertise, women can successfully have children. The percentages of women that have kids with lupus, I believe, is relatively small. But there are certainly challenges that come up with, having kids and raising a family when you're living with a chronic disease, particularly one that really depletes your energy. And so that fatigue may become, one of the challenging things, that has to be managed. And, we have many of our support groups really try to address some of the issues that, mothers with lupus are dealing with. Oftentimes women are diagnosed around the time of pregnancy. And so again, like we know, there's some sort of genetic predisposition because we see populations with lupus. There's some belief that there's some hormonal connection because 90% of those cases of lupus are women and mostly women in their childbearing years.
Now, can they pass this along to their children in terms of, Mercedes mentioned that her grandmother had lupus. If a woman is deciding to have kids, is there a concern that she would give lupus through genetic means to her child? Or
We know there's a genetic component to lupus, and we know there's a hormonal component to lupus, and we know there's an environmental component to lupus, and all of those come together, not come together, or do not come together, as all those are the puzzles that researchers are dealing with. There is evidence that there is some families where lupus has affected many generations. There is evidence where it's not. So I don't think that there is a definite say yes, of course, but of course it does happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what do we feel in terms of, we have a new government in place, Obama, in terms of what are some things, I guess, again, this is to Margaret or Annette, about what can we do to reach out to the government to make them more aware? I know Obama is really into, you know, making sure everybody has health care and health coverage, especially when you have a chronic disease. You're constantly going in and out of the doctors. And, you know, his mother dealt with cancer. What are some things, Annette and Margaret, this is toward you guys, that we could do as a community, as individuals, to get the government to help with this lupus research and lupus support?
Well, go ahead, Annette.
No, go ahead, Margaret.
We certainly spend, and as Annette does as well, we certainly spend time speaking up for lupus at the federal level. And, of course, it's important. It's important to bring forth to our legislators and to federal agencies that biomedical research, and that is a big agenda as well in the current administration. We're very encouraged. I mean, I was just in Washington 2 weeks ago, and there's a whole lightness of being, if you will, even given the economic picture in our country. The people you talk to, they say, yes, we can. So there's that spirit is out there, and I think it's across the aisle that we will be investing more in biomedical research, and that then it's our job to make sure that lupus is a significant component of that.
And just to add to that, in terms of, you know, federal support for biomedical research, you know, all of the lupus community needs to be, you know, banding together in terms of other policy issues that relate. You mentioned healthcare, certainly access to healthcare, specialty care, experimental drugs. You know, we've mentioned there's no new drug in 50 years. Many of the treatments tried for lupus are borrowed from other things. So again, without that FDA indication, it can be very complicated for someone to perhaps have that medication reimbursed by their health insurance carrier. Many people with lupus cannot work till retirement age. They go on disability. And so, you know, policies and things that relate to Social Security disability, it really runs across, you know, many avenues in terms of policies and political issues and so forth. And the Lupus Foundation of America is always trying to look at those things and advocate on behalf of the individuals with lupus.
Well, we only have about 1 minute or 1 minute and a half left. I want to thank everybody this morning for coming on the show. Mercedes Yvette, thank you. Annette Myrick from the Lupus Foundation of America. Margaret Dow from the Lupus Research Institute. Layla Moreno, she's in the Pennsylvania area. She's a senior public affairs specialist with a local Medicaid insurance company. I want to thank everyone for coming on this morning. For the listeners, if you have any questions for me or suggestions for shows, email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Again, I'm sorry, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Also, don't forget to mark this show a favorite on Blog Talk Radio. Today, the show was featured on the main page as today's pick. Again, lupus is an important issue. Next week, I'm going to be dealing with a documentary called Soulmate by Andrea Wiley. She's worked on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air show, Parenthood, the Steve Harvey show, on the Parkers, and now she did a documentary. Soulmate explores the fact that 42% of Black American women have never been married, and deals with the issue of celibacy. So, again, tune in next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, and if you have a question for me, email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys. Again, thank you, everyone, for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time.
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I Have Lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful Saturday.
Joy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Joy.
Thank you.